Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Monday, August 10th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as starting pitcher Nathan Eovaldi was placed on the 15-day IL with posterior elbow inflammation. Eovaldi is likely to be out beyond the minimum 15 days as the Rangers don't want to risk rushing one of their top pitchers back while he's dealing with a concerning arm injury. Reliever Ben Peoples was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, but Jordan Montgomery is likely to shift from the bullpen to the rotation to replace Nathan Eovaldi. Next, relief pitcher Caleb Killian was placed on the 15-day IL with an oblique strain. Oblique strains can usually take a little while to recover from, so Killian is likely to miss the next 3 to 5 weeks, which is unfortunate given that Killian was just acquired by the Phillies from the Giants at the trade deadline, and the Phillies are already low on right-handed relievers with Brad Keller on the injured list and out for the rest of the year with an injury. Reliever Chase Sugart was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. Next, closing pitcher Devin Williams was placed on the 15-day IL with a shoulder strain. It was initially described as arm fatigue, but Williams will now head to the IL with a strain of his shoulder. The severity of the strain is unknown, but with the Mets out of the playoff race, they won't rush Williams back, so I wouldn't expect him back in the minimum 15 days. Reliever Jonathan Pintaro was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, but Kodai Senga is expected to take over as the Mets closer until Williams returns. Next, reliever Sean Anderson was placed on the 15-day IL with shoulder inflammation, and reliever Sammy Peralta was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move to join the Angels bullpen. Next, outfielder Tyler Freeman was placed on the 10-day IL with lumbar pain. Freeman has dealt with back issues all year, so he's likely due for an absence longer than the minimum stay given the recurring nature of Freeman's back injury. First baseman Connor Norby was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. Norby was acquired at the deadline in a trade with the Marlins in exchange for Victor Vodnik, and he is expected to be on the short side of a designated hitter platoon in Colorado. Lastly, catcher Daniel Susak was placed on the 10-day IL with a fractured patella. Susak will be out for the season. He'll miss the remainder of the season. So pretty significant injury to Susak, who was the Giants' everyday catcher. Backstop Drew Kavanaugh will be the everyday catcher moving forward for the Giants. And catcher Zach Morgan was selected from the minors in a corresponding move. He's a 26-year-old right-handed hitter who at AAA batted .241 with one homer and a 74 WRC plus. Morgan will be the backup catcher to Drew Kavanaugh moving forward. In terms of transactions, first baseman Charles McAdoo was recalled from the minors by the Blue Jays. He started at third base in his return to the majors with Kazuma Okamoto dealing with a minor injury, but McAdoo's role will likely be limited to facing left-handed pitchers as a backup utility infielder. Outfielder Davis Schneider was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. Next, starting pitcher Cade Povich was optioned to the minors by the Orioles. He was not great in his start on Sunday, and with Chris Bassett expected to be activated from the IL later this week, Povich's spot in the rotation is up for grabs, and it's going to be grabbed by Bassett as he'll replace Povich in the rotation. Reliever Cam Sanders was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. Next, third baseman Zach Geloff was activated from the 10-day IL after missing a month with a knee laceration. He immediately homered in his return to the ace lineup, and Geloff will be the everyday third baseman moving forward, forcing Tommy White to the short side of a first base platoon and Max Muncy to the short side of a designated hitter platoon. Second baseman Jonathan Ornelas was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And next, starting pitcher Michael Soroka was activated from the 15-day IL after missing 2 weeks plus with a glute strain. Soroka faced the Rockies in his return, tossing 4 1/3 innings. No, it wasn't 2 weeks. That was about a month and a half doing the math wrong. He has been out since June 19th, Soroka has, but he faced the Rockies in his return, tossing 4 1/3 innings, allowing 3 hits and no earned runs, walking 3 while striking out 4. He induced 8 whiffs with 21% CSW across 77 pitches. And given the lengthy absence, we weren't expecting a big workload from Soroka, but he also struggled with his control, throwing just 61% strikes overall, which was the lowest mark of the year for him. But the Rockies bailed Soroka out. The curveball here was the main culprit, returning just 48% strikes after failing to fall below 61% strikes through his first 15 starts. And it was less an inability to find the zone with the curveball and more so a failure to induce chases and having too many waste pitches with the hook. I think it's probably an issue of the rest of his pitches not meshing well with the curveball. So I think Soroka should be back once, now that he's shaken off the rust versus the Rockies, and he'll head to Atlanta for his next start. Reliever Cade Stroud was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, starting pitcher Zach Littell signed a major league contract with the Diamondbacks. He pitched in relief of Michael Soroka, tossing 4 2/3 innings, and he could join the rotation at some point for the Diamondbacks, but he's likely to pitch out of the bullpen for now. But if he is going to replace anybody, it's likely going to be Mitch Bratt, who would end up heading back to the minors. Bratt might only have one more chance to prove himself in the majors with a start today hosting the Rockies. Reliever Paul Sewald was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, starting pitcher Blake Snell is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL today to start versus the Royals. Snell has missed the last 2.5 months after undergoing surgery to remove loose bodies from his elbow. He underwent the nanoneedle surgery, the same one that Tarek Skubal did. Starting pitcher Nick Lodolo is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL today to start in Chicago against the White Sox. Lodolo has missed about a month with a finger blister. Catcher Adley Rutschman is expected to be activated from the 10-day IL today after missing the past 3 weeks with wrist inflammation. Rutschman will be the Red Sox everyday catcher once he returns to the majors, shifting Connor Wong to the bench and likely removing Jake Rogers from the active roster. And lastly, starting pitcher Jackson Kent is expected to have his contract selected from the minors tomorrow to make his MLB debut versus the Cubs. Kent will replace the aforementioned Zach Littell in the Nationals rotation. Kent is the Nationals' number 8 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. He's a 23-year-old left-handed pitcher who at AA and AAA has pitched to a 3.72 ERA, a 1.12 whip, a 27% strikeout rate, and an 8% walk rate. He has a 60 grade changeup and a pretty underwhelming fastball in the low 90s, but Kent has the potential to be a swatch, a southpaw with a tight changeup. Now we could take a look at our notable performances from Monday, a day in which we had just 10 games on our slate. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with third baseman Nolan Arenado, who helped the Diamondbacks to win against the Rockies, going 2-for-4 with a run, a home run, 4 RBIs, and a steal to complete the combo meal. Arenado is up to 18 home runs and 4 steals on the season now. The first one went 380, or the home run went 382 feet at 103 miles per hour. And with the combo meal, Arenado is now one stolen base shy from tying his career high of 5 stolen bases. And it's been great to see the future Hall of Famer bounce back in 2026 after a couple of seasons during which he sort of looked cooked. He's already eclipsed his home run total from each of those seasons. He hit 16 in 2024 and 12 in 2025, and he's already up to 18 this year. And he's well on his way to the ninth 20 home run campaign of his legendary career. Early on this year, it looked like those previous two seasons were carrying over into 2026 as Arenado batted 180 without a home run through his first 14 games. He then homered twice and hasn't looked back since, batting 251 with all 18 of his homers and a 120 WRC plus. And his 8% barrel rate during that time isn't spectacular, but it is his best mark since he finished as the MVP runner-up way back in 2022. And it speaks to Arenado's return to pulling fly balls. And it's come at a bit of a cost as Arenado sold out for power, leading to a career-high 21% strikeout rate, which will likely keep his batting average around 240 rather than the 260 for which he's hit in his Cardinals career. Regardless, Arenado is still someone who can help out in the majority of fantasy leagues. And lastly, we have first baseman Ty France, who helped the Padres to win against the Brewers, going 2-for-3 with 2 runs, a home run, and an RBI. It was his 17th home run of the year, and it traveled 369 feet at 107 miles per hour. France is in the midst of the best offensive season of his career, exemplified by a career-high 139 WRC+. The Padres didn't recognize this new version of France as they failed to install him into the lineup on an everyday basis until late May, but France has mashed since then. It's hard to suggest that he's going to keep doing this, though, as despite his career 11% barrel rate, which is dope, and so is his 49% hard hit rate and an extra mile per hour of average bat speed, all dope. He's up to 72 miles per hour, which is slightly above the league average of 71.5 miles per hour. But France's expected metrics suggest he's overperforming by a wide margin. He's also got a full season high 23% strikeout rate and a 329 BABIP, which should prevent him from batting in the upper 200s. He's at 291 on the season right now, and he's currently running the lowest contact rate of his career, around 75%, which is not great. He's also swinging and missing more than ever. So France does have a lot of signs that point to regression the rest of the way. I'm willing to ride this out through the end of the year, but I wouldn't be surprised if France runs out of gas before the conclusion of the season. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Monday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Mackenzie Gore in LA against the Angels as he helped the Rangers to win, tossing 5 1/3 innings, allowing 4 hits and 1 run, walking 2 while striking out 9. He induced 22 whiffs with 39% CSW across 103 pitches, and Gore earned the golden goal as he led baseball with those 22 whiffs to earn the gallows pole and earn the King Cole by leading baseball with that 39% CSW. And this is what Gore looks like when he's at his best, throwing 95 to 96 miles per hour with 4 seamers upstairs, overwhelming batters both in the zone and out of it. He also throws a lot of changeups low and arm side, inducing whiffs versus right-handed batters, and then he flips curveballs into the zone to steal strikes and then dominates left-handed batters with sinkers and sliders. I'd love to see four seamers find the zone a bit more, or for cutters to show up to keep his strike rate higher, but Gore looked dominant here. Unfortunately, he's super inconsistent, so we can't expect him to have this command every time out. Plus, he heads to Sacramento for his next start. That'll be in my questionable starts tier. And lastly, we have Blake Tidwell, who did all he could, but the Giants lost to the Astros. He tossed 5 2/3 innings, allowing 4 hits and 1 run, walking 1 while striking out 6. He induced 16 whiffs with 35% CSW across 96 pitches. After multiple trades from the rotation, former top Mets prospect Tidwell is getting a shot in the Giants rotation. He hadn't done much to catch our eyes both last year and earlier this year until he had the best start of his career on Monday. The closest comparison I have stuff-wise for Tidwell is George Kirby. I don't think Tidwell's control is as good as Kirby's, but they're both sweeper-focused righties with 2 fastballs in the mid-90s, supported by a few unpolished tertiary offerings. Tidwell's sweeper was overwhelming on Monday, inducing 12 whiffs and 4 strikeouts, while 4 seamers and sinkers filled up the zone for 37% CSW and 70% strikes. Tidwell's 4 seamer is definitely better than Kirby's with 17 inches of IVB, and he too fails to get sinkers inside right-handed batters as much as he should to maximize the pitch separation between the sinker and the sweeper. I'd also love for one of Tidwell's slider, changeup, or curveball to step up as a legit put-away pitch against left-handed batters, because that's where most of his struggles are going to be, as he's a sinker sweeper arm. But with Rocky Road up next, I'm down to give Tidwell a chance as a streamer and see if he can build off this performance. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Monday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Louis Varlin recorded his 25th save with a scoreless ninth. Kodai Senga pitched a hitless ninth for his first save as he's replacing the injured Devin Williams as the Mets closer. Jonathan Bolin recorded his first save with a perfect ninth as Yoan Duran was unavailable after pitching on back-to-back days and in 4 of the past 5. Mason Miller recorded his NL-leading 30th save with a hitless ninth, and Edwin Diaz pitched a perfect ninth for his 6th save. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Dylan Smith allowed a run in the 9th inning to blow his 2nd save. The Giants would go on to lose in 10 innings. Josh Hader benefited, pitching a perfect 9th and 10th to earn his 4th win in that one. And lastly, Sammy Natera Jr. pitched a scoreless 9th in a tie game. Ben Joyce pitched a perfect 8th in that one as well, so it's still unclear who the Angels closer is. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Tuesday, August 11th, the day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Paul Skeens versus Eury Pérez. We got a couple of hard-throwing right-handers, and Skeens has not been at his best this year, so I'm looking for him to take advantage of the lowly Marlins lineup and get back on track, whereas Eury Pérez has some of the best stuff in baseball, and it's always fun to watch him pitch. It'll be a great matchup between Skeens and Perez. In terms of probable starters, we've got 10 guys in the auto starts tier, including Skeens and Perez. We've also got Dylan Cease versus the Red Sox, Kyle Harrison in San Diego, and Sean Burke versus the Reds. Our probably starts tier has one guy, and our questionable starts tier has eight, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Martin Perez versus the Mets. The Mets lineup is not great right now, especially without Juan Soto, and Perez is somebody who's had great command the entire career. If you're thinking about like Eduardo Rodriguez as a guy to compare to him, change up, four-seamer, sinker, cutter, curveball, he's got it all. Martin Perez has got it all, and he should continue to pitch well. His last start was just limited because of rain. So Martin Perez versus the Mets is our streamer of the day. I'd also keep an eye out for Cody Bradford in LA against the Angels. Their lineup is also struggling right now and has been struggling all year, but post deadline, it's not as strong as it was before. And Cody Bradford, where he doesn't throw 90 miles per hour, he's a very slow fastball thrower. He is somebody that I'd consider a swatch, a southpaw with a tight changeup, as he can locate that fastball well and get a lot of swings and misses on his changeup. And it's not like we haven't seen him perform well in the past. He also makes up for his lack of velocity with elite extension. And if you're looking for a pitcher with an opener, Adrian Hauser should pitch with an opener versus the Astros for the Giants. In terms of hitter suggestions, I target Cubs hitters versus Jake Irvin in Nationals Park. Irvin has a 5.37 ERA on the season. I'd also target Yankees hitters versus Brian Wu in Yankee Stadium. Wu has a 6.71 ERA on the road, so Yankees hitters should be able to take advantage of him. I'd also target Rangers hitters versus Ryan Johnson in Angel Stadium. Johnson has a 7.11 ERA on the year. And lastly, I target Rays and A's hitters in Sutter Health Park because it's one of the best hitters parks in baseball. We'll see Nick Martinez square off against Mason Barnett in that one. And now we can close things out with our relievers to watch. Edwin Diaz has pitched in three of the past 4 days, but so has Tanner Scott. So expect one of Alex Vesia or Edgardo Henriquez to be your safest bet at a save for the Dodgers on Tuesday. And lastly, Dylan Smith has pitched on back-to-back days and in three of the past four. So Keaton Wynn should be the next man up for the Giants. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. And make sure to enjoy the day as we're blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.